The following interview was conducted on behalf of the Oral History Program of the Washington County Museum and Century High School. The interviewee is Jeff Wageman, and the interviewer is Karina Reyes and Annie Nguyen. The interview took place at 8166 Southwest 184th Avenue, Aloha, Oregon, 97007. On May 28, 2001.
What was your first reaction when you found out about the United States' involvement in the Vietnam War?
The concern that the United States was at war, and it was kind of scary. People were wondering how it was going to go, how big it was going to get. You know, in past history classes, we learned about World War II, and so we knew how that was going to go, how that went. So my first reaction, I guess, is, oh boy, it's big time, it's serious, it's something serious.
Mm-hmm. How did life in Hillsboro change from pre-war to during the war?
The attitude, I think, of people was concerned for the war. There was a feeling that people want it to be over with, and in calmness and happiness to be restored, and not the concern about the war and all the terrible things that were happening.
What was the public opinion of the war, and how did it change over time?
I think the majority of the people felt that it was a war that the United States should not have been involved with, but we were, and some people were angry, but it had run its course. Was the government, of course, was leading it or heading it, so we had to just kind of grin and bear it, I guess, if you will.
Did it change over time? Did the attitude change over time?
Yeah, I think it did become a little bit, people got old of tired of hearing of the tragedies over there, but yet it was still something that was always in the back of your mind. And you kind of wondered if anybody you knew, anybody's family, relations, distant cousins or anything like that might have been over there. Whether it was in school, your neighborhood, or in your own family. So there was always concern. And the fact of how it affected people was, yeah, if it hit close to home, people became more sensitive and mad, upset about it. And others, if it didn't affect them, seemed like concerned with.
How was the economy based in Hillsboro before the war, and did it change, and in what way?
I'm not really sure if I understand the economy part of the Hillsboro economy based. I think people continued to live and spend the way they lived and spend before. Is that?
I think what the question is that how were people making a living like that? Like right now you see Tektronix and
Before the high tech industry?
Yeah.
It was farming, yeah. Typically rural farming, small businesses. There wasn't the big shopping centers and high tech industry hadn't really quite hit yet. Intel was here, but they weren't as big as they are. And they were just in Aloha. They didn't have any of the Hillsboro site stuff yet. So it was still small country, mom and pop type businesses and farming and.
Were there any anti-war or pro-war demonstrations? And if so, how did they affect you?
Locally?
Yeah.
Not that I know of. No demonstrations that I was aware of.
Once people knew that certain young men were going to war in Vietnam, how were these people treated?
With care and concern. The regret that they had to go and leave the United States, United States, go there and fight in the war. Sad, and very emotional for people.
Were there any pro-war community sanctioned activities in Hillsborough during this time, such as blood drives for the soldiers in Vietnam?
I'm not sure if pro or blood drives were set up, but there was the, I'm not sure if this is the same the right answer for this question, but the prisoner, POW, bracelets.
Oh.
They were, I shouldn't say it was a fad, but it was something that was quickly caught on and people were participating, buying PAL bracelets, and you'd get a, send in some, I didn't own one or get one, but you'd send in some money, then you could get a prisoner of war bracelet and it had a person's name on it and what infantry and what division they were in, branch of the service. Money that was collected, and I think it was to help offset some of the expenses that were happening over there that weren't paid by the government.
How were soldiers treated when they returned, and what programs were set in motion to help them reintegrate into the community?
They were treated with kindness and respect. Programs, I think, weren't necessarily set up right in the beginning. I think it was kind of a delayed effect with the programs for helping them get back into the community. And there was a lot of emotional problems that they encountered because they lost friends and loved ones over there in the war, people they worked with, and I guess become a real close family when you're in the service in the war. So the programs were to try to help them get back on the mainstream. Some of them suffered a lot of emotional problems, and I think to this day there are still some that have problems.
What do you know about the draft, and how did it affect Hillsborough?
The draft was something you had to sign up for by the time you were 18. And I did, and I think it was my senior year, my last year of high school, that it was required. I think after that it became a voluntary program. And, so the men, the guys in the Hillsborough High School area, all talked about it and laughed and scoffed, but they knew it was something you had to do, and for the, you know, for good reasons. But it wasn't something everybody was really excited to do. Sure.
Mm-hmm. To what extent did young men enlist voluntarily?
Well, I suppose there was a fair amount that did voluntarily feel like they wanted to serve the country, and there was nothing to do with that. Is that kind of what you're looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Answer?
Yeah. Is there any evidence of students becoming aware of the war?
Yes, it was in high school. There's some classes called current events, and that was the discussion that came up. And there were teachers that had siblings in the war, so you'd hear from time to time on, depending upon the subject matter and the timing, teachers would bring it up in class from time to time. War and it touched them in some way and somehow. That it was still in force and it was still going on.
Did they respond to it in any way we can find, either pro or con? Did the students respond to it?
I think most of the students were kind of confused sometimes and were asking questions that the teachers would explain the best they knew how and tell us, you know, explain to us what was going on and why the government got involved. And that's kind of where I learned that it was a place we really shouldn't abandon. Over time, you keep hearing it said over and over again, even after school. But they did talk about it and you know, it was in a manner that was just an educational manner to the students. I don't think I had a teacher that ever got up on a soapbox and said, pro or con about it. It was just mostly from an educational stance he took. Mm-hmm.
Were there any changes in dress or hair over time? Like the way students reacted to the war?
Like the fashion, did it change over time maybe?
Yeah. You know, the 60s were kind of the freedom, children, child, peace, love, and war, and that carried over into the 70s, and I don't know if it was because of the Vietnam War or if it was just kind of part of the combination of that era. But yeah, the longer hair, the freedom to do what you want to do when you want to do was more pronounced. Kind of the lack of respect kind of came into play as far as for people and each other and for their own selves too. Partying in the hippie days, it seemed like it was linked with Vietnam. The phrase that was said quite often is, you know, make love, not war, you know, was a common saying during those times. And so people were kind of revolting from the war and then partying and being free with themselves.
Was there evidence of increased drug use in Hillsboro during this time?
I guess I don't know that part. I couldn't honestly say if there was any increase.
Okay. What music was popular during this time?
Are you looking for like band names or type or style?
Well, you can tell us whatever you want. It doesn't. There's no specific.
Some of the older artists from the 70s had some music out that was, Best of Bread, for example, was a band, it's an old band, but they were during those times, and it was more smooth and melancholy kind of music. It wasn't the rebel headbanger type music. It was kind of before the disc wear, of course, and it was just... more songs about the artists' lives and things and how they thought it should be.
Is there anything that I did not ask you that you would like to relate to me?
I don't think so. The questions are covered pretty broadly.
With the things on, I'm like, okay. So can you repeat what you just said?
Oh,
because that was good.
yeah, the people were just mostly glad the war was over. It, you know, it was when I think it was 74, 75 when it ended. It was such a relief that people were, you know, the United States troops are coming home and the war is over with and. Hopefully there's going to be peace again, and although it's been a real long time before the relations between the two countries ever healed, and I think it's still kind of in a healing process, but I understand we're doing some trading, just a little bit of trading back and forth now. And, I think they're looking for vacation. It's opening up as a vacation spot in some places, because it is a beautiful country over there.
Really hot over there.
Hot and humid.
Yeah.
It's so tropical like, and anytime you see some of those movies, what's the name of Robin Williams? Hello Vietnam.
Yeah, Hello Vietnam.
Yeah. And then there's some other ones similar to that. Well, actually, Chuck Norris, I think, has the movies out where he was rescuing some missing in action people. It looks beautiful over there.
Yeah.
Kind of wouldn't mind traveling.
What were the main businesses in town?
Canneries. I think they had two canneries in Israel because it's very much agricultural community. So that's where people would, if you didn't work in the berry fields, well if you did, then also you worked in the canneries for that was the Cecil work, whether you were in high school or whether you were in the workforce. Those are two places that people were working quite a bit.
Specifically, what did your family do during that time?
As far as what my folks work?
Yeah.
My dad worked in a warehouse in General Motors Warehouse and TV Highway. And then my mom was just about, I think she just started Tektronix.
What were some of the typical activities that you guys did? Just
as a family growing up? So?
Yeah.
Locally?
Yeah.
Dairy Queen movies, things like that in the summertime. And as far as work, my brothers and myself, we did pick berries in the field in the summertime to earn money and expenses and things. Worked in the community. Oh, on TV, there would be these draft lists of draft these numbers, and people were supposed to watch those, and they were posted at different times and announced when they were going to be, so people could tune in and look, watch to see if your number was rolling, scrolling across the screen, and if it was, you were supposed to report to your local post office for further information on where to be contacted or where to be contacted by. And that was always something, I do remember people talking about that and nervousness in the air because no one wanted a number to come up. Because it's kind of like a lottery system, I think. Everybody put your number in, but then certain numbers would come up. And then you were supposed to call in or report to, I think it was a post office or a federal office someplace.
So were there any people in your family that were drafted, maybe your relatives or?
Not that I know of. I think they were, they had signed up, of course, but I don't think anybody that I can recall was drafted. Some of my families, or most of them are in the Midwest, and some of them were close to and some were not real close to, so I don't know some of the others.